This is an RTRFM podcast. RTRFM is a community organisation and relies on volunteer and listener support. To learn more about what we do, visit rtrfm.com.au.
Hi, you mob. We here at the Sovereign Podcast would like to acknowledge the Whadjuk Noongar people, family, children and elders, past and present, on the land on which we meet today, Whadjuk Noongar Boodja.
It's a privilege to be standing on Noongar country, and we should all be proud to call Boorloo and the surrounding waters of the Derwul Yerrigan our home.
Wanmala. That's what we call the Western Desert in Badimaya, the language of my ancestors, the language of my being. Wanmala, a person from the Western Desert. With its vast landscapes, sandy terrains, dried riverbeds, the Western Desert is an oasis of its own. It's grand, quite isolating at times, and when the sun sets over Yamaji country, you forget the sky was ever blue. It was fleeting moments like these that fed your soul and elevated you spiritually to a kind of epiphany, the same sun man has worshipped since his beginning of time. When you look at the Aboriginal flag, the sun is the centerpiece. It isn't just an object, but a living, breathing entity that occupies our skies. The heat of the desert here in Australia, the Mandara, morning star, is the celestial body in many, many stories. It is ancient, everlasting, and one of the many profound entities in every culture around the world. But what about the stars?
Larger devices such as laptops must be safely stowed at these times. Any transmitting devices without a flight safety.
Recently, I was on a plane back from New York. Through the deep abyss of my window, which would usually terrify me because I'm scared of heights, I was admiring the world above. White stars, like delicate diamonds placed on a blanket of black by the Lord of the Cosmos, twinkling and gleaming gracefully back at me. My imagination was suddenly ignited. The shimmering light, whether one star be the rings of Saturn or the majesty that is Venus, tells a story of power. The extravagance reminded me of the vastness of this universe we assume is so small, how everything is beyond our reach in unearthing confines. And it made me wonder how people, thousands and thousands of years ago, witnessing such beauty must have felt. And I wonder what they thought of these strange objects in our sky. As the plane drifted seamlessly throughout the night sky, I suddenly grew scared, shocked even, to witness such enchantment and question what people must have thought of these things. It wasn't the surge of anxiety you receive when you know your house is a mess and you have no bother in cleaning it. Weeks pass by, it's always at the back of your mind. You might be in a meeting, you might be out in public, and you think to yourself, crap, I really need to clean my house. But the thought of it just makes you so uncomfortable and anxious that you don't feel like it. But no, it's not that type of specific anxiety I'm speaking about. This was an anxiety that humbled you. When I mention the sun that is on the flag that represents us, we forget that the black of the night holds stories of significance to our being, our core. So in today's episode, we recognise not only the desert, as mentioned before, but its stories. The same stories that have been chanted, sung, declared from all over the world in many different ways. Growing up, I would often wonder why I have these dark brown freckles or spots scattered all over the back of my hand. There's seven of them. Eight if you count the one near my thumb, but I tend not to. I would often ask my mum, what do you think this means? She would tell me they're just birthmarks.
They're just birthmarks that every child has and that most people are born with.
But my ones were quite mysterious to me. I've never seen anything quite like it. But my mum would tell me I was just born with it, just like you're born with five fingers and five toes and two eyes. I was born with these seven dots on my hand. I heard the story of the Seven Sisters. This is considered a desert story back home. One that I'm not familiar with, but one that I know of from other language groups. I had a feeling that they resembled the Seven Sisters in the night sky, the constellation that we can see with our naked eye. The story of the Seven Sisters, known as the Star Dreaming Story, or Pleiades as the Greeks' tale goes, is spread around the continent we live in today. It is one of the most oldest astrological stories passed around, with different skin groups and different language groups having their own interpretation of the tale. I wanted to share one that I found particularly interesting, especially after looking out the window and looking back at my hand, and how this ties into womanhood and matriarchy, which we inherit within our culture. The Napaljari Sisters, which is significant in the Western Desert, is one of the most well-known stories here in Western Australia. For those who don't know, the Seven Sisters are a cluster of stars in the night sky. The star group, which you can see is seven, sometimes six, rises above the horizon soon after sunset and keeps a low trajectory above the horizon. Perhaps for this reason, this relatively small star cluster takes on extra importance, as it appears to launch from the Earth's surface and make its journey in close proximity to the land. The Napaljari Wanu Jovkarpa depicts the story of the seven ancestral Napaljari sisters. An ancestral man was in love with the seven Napaljari sisters and chased them, if you want to put it in the short form. In a final attempt to escape from the man, the sisters turned themselves into fire and ascended to the heavens to become stars. This isn't a story that's confined just to Western Australia, but from all over the world. There's stories in Greece, there's stories in North America, there's stories in Africa, there's stories in Central America. There is so much significance to this story, and I wanted to know more about it. And I also wanted to know why the sisters turned into stars, of why they are this breathtaking entity above us. The tale goes that the seven Napaljari sisters are paintings of the story. Paintings of this dreaming story often depict the seven women carrying the man who chased them. And the man is often a bush turkey, could sometimes be a black figure. He is also in love with the seven sisters, and he is the cluster of stars known as Orion's Belt. And Orion, for those who don't know in the Greek tale, was a hunter. So the custodians of this dreaming are men from one skin group and women from another. In my interpretation of the story, the resilience and strength of the seven sisters resemble the power of the black matriarchy. Women in Indigenous culture play a central role in families, spiritual ceremonies, and law. This songline stretches across our countries, depicting similar themes of tragedy, loss, lust, and power. This notion of sisterhood and sisters banding together, fleeing from the trauma and pain and suffering caused upon them, is really significant in a lot of Indigenous stories. Not just the story of the seven sisters, but of another one. Not leaving one sister behind, violence against women. All of these seem to be quite prominent themes that I've noted in a lot of tales and a lot of dreaming stories. I was in Eora, so Sydney, last year. My friends and I decided to take a trip to the Blue Mountains because it is a place that seems so magical to me. Despite the cult cafes, the eerie cold air, the haunted mansions, there is a history in the mountains themselves that I find fascinating. The beauty of the Blue Mountains is shrouded in a veil of mystery and beauty. Silver mist rises from the green cloaked rainforest. Golden peaks reach towards the sky, and down in the valleys, waterfalls gush to feed the scented eucalyptus trees. One of the most spectacular landmarks of this World Heritage Site has to be the Three Sisters, however. And when I visited it, I'd had no idea that there was a dreaming story behind it. Tourists flocked to stand in awe of the unusual rock formation carved from the cliffs at Echo Point in Katoomba. Turns out through my research that these three majestic rocks capture the sunlight and burst with colour throughout the day. Even when the sky floods with night, the magical Three Sisters are always glittering gold against the velvet backdrop. Yet, it's not only the wonder of the landscape that captures the hearts of many travellers who come to the Blue Mountains, but it's the story behind the three rocks that stand tall. The ancient Aboriginal legend tells the tale of the three sisters, also known as Meeni, Wimla, and Ganadu. These three enchanting girls lived in the heart of the Jamison Valley as part of the Kintuba tribe. The girls were young and their hearts were captured by three brothers from a neighbouring tribe. However, the law of the land forbid the girls from following their desires and marrying outside their own people. The brothers decided to capture the girls and carry them away to be wed. A major battle then ensued as the two tribes clashed and the blood ran thick. An elderly witch doctor from the Kituba tribe feared for the safety of the beautiful sisters and cast a spell to turn them to stone to keep them safe from harm. Yet during the raging battle, the witch doctor was killed and unable to reverse the spell. As someone who loves dreaming stories, I felt a twinge of sadness because it's quite heart-wrenching. It's so tragic to realise that they were once girls who had just wanted to marry, you know, someone outside of their tribe. I think there's always a beauty when you look at these things, whether it be stars or rocks. It fills your imagination, doesn't it? And it sparks it and it brings a touch of magic in your everyday life. And that's what I was feeling on that plane ride. I wanted to feel magic, and looking at the stars, I felt that surge of magic. It was even fascinating to note that the protection of womanhood lies in our land. That the stars we see today were once women fleeing from violence, that even the mountains I visited carried that grief. I decided to explore more after my holiday. In Greek mythology, the Pleiades were the seven daughters of the Titan Atlas. He was forced to hold up the sky for eternity and was therefore unable to protect his daughters. To save the sisters from being raped by the hunter Orion, Zeus transformed them into stars. But the story says one sister fell in love with a mortal and went into hiding, which is why sometimes we only see six stars. Close to the seven sisters in the night sky is the constellation of Orion, which I mentioned before, Orion's belt. It's called the saucepan in Australia. I can see why it's called the saucepan, because it is quite in a saucepan-y shape. In Greek mythology, the saucepan is known as Orion the Hunter. It's the same hunter in the story of the Napaljari sisters. Or sometimes it's not just one hunter, but a group of lusty, obsessed young men. In North America, the Blackfoot tribe in Alberta, Canada, have their own ancestral story. In their stories, the Pleiades are orphans known as the Lost Boys. No one cared for these boys, so they became stars. The mistreatment of these orphans made the Sun Man angry, so he punished the people with a drought, causing the buffalo to disappear. Since buffalo aren't available when the Lost Boys are in the sky, the Blackfoot assemble after the Pleiades disappear from the summer sky to do a large-scale hunt at buffalo jumps. Fascinating, isn't it? The Cherokee have a story about seven boys who, instead of doing their ceremonial chores, they were playing. They ran around the ceremonial ball court in a circle until they rose into the sky. As six of the boys rose into the sky, the seventh was caught by his mother. She yanked him down so hard that he sank into the ground when he hit. A pine tree then grew over the place where he was buried in the earth. In the Kiowa story, seven little girls were chased by bears. They did their best to escape by climbing on a low rock and pleading with the rock to save them from the bear. That rock grew higher and higher until it stretched up into the sky. Those girls became the Pleiades, and the grooves on Devil's Tower, which is located in the Black Hills of Wyoming, are the marks of the bear's claws as it tried to get them. Every single story depicts the fleeing of these boys and girls.
Soldier boy, hey, oh,
I found this so fascinating. Just reading about it now gives me goosebumps. How did we know as people, and how did our ancestors know the story despite being across continents? Was there, I don't know, I can't imagine anything. I mean, in my head, I'm like, did we all just meet up around the world, sit down, have a yarn and be like, okay, this is what this means for us. Let's just share the same story, but in our own countries. I'd highly doubt it, but it's just so shocking and amazing. And I'm awestruck by the amount of similarities in every single story. And every single story has that same theme of girls and boys fleeing. Across different songlines, they have the same, I guess, same narrative about girls fleeing from a man obsessed with young girls. It was quite amazing to note such a thing. And I guess these stories of the Seven Sisters underscore their profound importance as repositories of heritage, wisdom, and identity. These narratives serve as bridges across generations, linking past experiences with present understandings of the world. By preserving and sharing stories like those of the Seven Sisters across diverse cultures, we honour the resilience and the brilliance of our ancestors who navigated life's challenges through myth and legend. These tales offer insights into universal themes such as love, loss, and the quest for freedom, resonating deeply with audiences regardless of their cultural background. Moreover, cultural stories foster empathy and understanding by illuminating different perspectives and ways of life. They encourage us to appreciate the richness of human diversity while recognizing our shared humanity, our core. In an increasingly interconnected world where cultures interact and blend, these narratives serve as a touchstones of cultural pride and heritage that we hold so deeply. They anchor communities to their roots and foster a sense of belonging. As we continue to explore and celebrate these stories, we not only preserve cultural legacy, but also cultivate a deeper appreciation for the complexities and beauty of our global tapestry of traditions. And when I look back down at my hand with all its rough textures, I only see seven stars and seven sisters. This special episode of Sovereign was written and researched by Charlene Baloch. Our executive producer and editor is Danielle Raphael. This episode was recorded and produced on Wajak Noongar Boodja. We pay our respects to elders past and present. This land was never ceded.